I can't remember when I've had a more difficult time coming to this place with a message and something to share from the Lord. I'm believing the Lord that all that struggle I went through, I won't go into it, it would take our time completely, but that God is doing something and speaking here today. And so I just encourage you, open your heart to the Lord. Open and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you saying to me about where I am in this world at this time and what is coming? Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 5. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned in beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the day will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another. Hold it. Stop right here. Everybody stand to honor the word of the Lord. Oh, I'm losing it. These things which you see, the days will come which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So they ask him, saying, Teacher, when will these things be, and what sign will there be that these things are about to take place? They wanted to know. And he said, Take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass. First, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay hands on you. Now notice that, what he says, before all these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for a testimony. God ordains things for our testimony, for our witness, for our sharing of his love and grace and salvation. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that the desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive to all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and in the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see now yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Father, we thank you for your love today. We thank you for the mercy and the favor and grace we find in Jesus, our King, our Savior, our Lord. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts today, to change our lives. Father, to move in us, to awaken us, to call someone here today to salvation and to a new life with you, with peace and joy. Come, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We live in a day. I just turned 70 at the end of May. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, I think I was 22, 23, 19. 78 or 76. Lots of things are going these days. One of the first books I read was The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord. I'd read through the New Testament, read the book of Revelation, and somehow got a hold of this book. And man, I'll tell you, the Lord was coming. And the first few months of my walk with the Lord, you know, I went from being delivered from drugs, from different things, and at the end of my college years, actually it was, I had one more year left, and I, you know, the Lord delivered me. I stopped with the drugs. And then it took a few months, the drinking, you know, had to go. Well, you know, the disciples and Jesus, they drank wine. I'm going to drink. Well, I needed to be a teetotaler because I drank too much. I didn't drink one glass or one beer. I would drink and then drink. And I could spend, you know, a beer was about $1 those days. I could spend $20 drinking beer. And sometimes I drank more than beer, you know. And, you know, today, what would that cost? That would cost, you really lose a lot of money going that way. I want to tell you. So how much I've saved over the years. And so, but I also chewed snuff. The Lord delivered me from drinking when I got baptized. But I still chewed snuff. And now I got saved in April. We're getting in September. And I was reading The Late Great Planet Earth, all about the rapture. I know I gave my heart to the Lord. I know I'm saved, but I chewed snuff. And if the rapture would come, what would happen? would everything go up but my lips and teeth? Sounds silly. But, you know, what would happen? Would this keep me? Would this keep me from meeting the Lord in the air? Would this keep me from being caught up together with the saints? I decided it wasn't worth all that doubt. And I used to walk home from Clarion, from school, to my apartment in Strattonville quite a bit. Occasionally I'd get a ride, but for the most part I walked. It's a good long walk. And I'd pray and think. And I had just lost a girlfriend. I was so frustrated with girls. I was walking home, oh, God. Oh, God. You know, what will, you know, when are you going to put this together for me? So, and he started speaking to me about the snuff. And I said, no. And you know, the other thing I was thinking wasn't only that, but I was thinking, are you real, God? Did this happen because I'm not serving you? Are you really real? And you know what I started thinking about? Israel. What I'd learned about Israel, that it may, I think it's May 16, 1948, Israel became a nation. And that parable about the fig tree, that once it begins to blossom, know that your redemption is drawing near. When that nation came together, in Isaiah, it says, Isaiah asks, can a nation be born in a day? Israel, that Jesus prophesied that, you know, where the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed and that the people would be gathered away. We just read it. It says that the people would be gathered away, and other places in the scripture talk about being scattered all over the earth. There were more, and even back in the 90s, I don't know, I haven't looked now, but my facts come from the 90s, 80s, and so, but back in the 90s, there were more Jews in New York City than there were in Israel. Did you know that? But God has gathered them beginning in 1948, and there were some Jews in the land then, but beginning all over the world, from the North country especially, from Germany and from Russia. They came down from Europe, from all over the world, from America, from everywhere across the earth where they were scattered. They have gathered to Israel. And I started thinking about that. I didn't know all the facts about it, but I started thinking, that was prophesied over 2,000 years ago, that this nation came together. Jesus said this. That is never, and I was a history major in college, and so that has never happened. There's nothing like that that's happened in the world, that a nation could be born in one day. And I said, I'm going to serve the Lord. I took that snuff out. I took that snuff out, put it down, and I haven't had one since. The Lord delivered me from those things. And he had to deliver a few other things since then. But I had that assurance, complete assurance, that if the Lord would come, I would be caught up together with him to meet him in the clouds and forever be in his presence. Do you have that assurance today? I look at most of you and I think you know the Lord, but that insurance is so important, so vital for our life. Whatever is not of faith and is doubt, the enemy uses to steal our confidence and our joy and our peace, and to rob our relationship with the Lord. The signs the sign of the temple, Titus took down and came some, I guess it would be about 37 years, AD 70, after Jesus passed. And so he came and he destroyed the city and ransacked the city, but he leveled every stone of that temple so one could be, not be upon another. Jesus said there would be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and hearts, men's hearts failing them for fear. You know, there's enough heart attacks today. I suppose you could include that, but I mean, during the whole COVID thing, did not you see a lot of hearts failing men? We're getting closer to COVID. Jesus said there would be plagues upon the earth. One of the things you see in the Old Testament prophecies, there's, and I can't use the particular chapter right now, but there's prophecies, I think, both in Ezekiel and Isaiah, almost whole chapters, that God talks about things he will do in the whole earth. Not just in Jerusalem or the Middle East or specific places, but certain things that are going to happen in the whole earth. The Black Plague was mainly Europe. That was a horrendous plague that, you know, just wiped out so many people. But COVID was worldwide. Its attention was worldwide. Now we can know what's going on in all the earth, unlike the days of Jesus. And so the things that are happening that he prophesied would happen in all the earth. Oh, there's so many other things that are signs of the time. Did you know that people are falling away? Just look at churches today. Many churches are becoming more and more empty. I thank God for Chapel, Transformation Church, and we were going to a Cranberry Church. Now we've pretty much settled in at Chapel because our granddaughters are here with us, and they need to be plugged in. Yeah, whether you like it or not. It's the way it is. So, but all three of those churches during the whole COVID thing, when so many churches, you know, people were losing and people were, you know, just leaving the church, those churches rose up in numbers and were fruitful. Amazing. Amazing. You know, Bible preaching, Bible teaching, and the presence of Holy Spirit in the middle of a church service, and it draws people. Go to a church that preaches the Bible, that teaches the Bible, that works on the good old fundamentals of the Bible and the truth of God, and go to a church that invites the Holy Spirit to have his way, where God's presence is felt. I've been to Bible-believing churches where, you know, it just seemed like, God, are you here? I don't have anything against. I'm happy in a Baptist church when I feel the presence of the Lord, or a Methodist church or any other church. But give me a Bible-believing church that preaches Jesus and his salvation, His death, resurrection, and his coming again. Will somebody say amen? His coming again. He's coming again. Used to be the four square gospel. Yeah, there's a Pentecostal fellowship, I've got friends in it. So, you know, they believe Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Spirit, and Jesus is coming again. Those are four fundamental doctrines that need to be a part of every Christian's life. So I just encourage you, no matter who you are, make sure that's a part of your life. You may move away from chapel. There may be changes in your life, But make sure that you're plugged in to the vine that produces fruit. Don't get me going. Too late, yeah. Yeah. All the signs, the signs, and I'll just mention a few. There's all these signs about pests and plagues, earthquakes. There's the sign of the great falling away. Jesus said, many will fall away, and because their hearts will become hardened because of the evil that is in the world. But also, there will be revival. Acts 2. Peter says, the prophecy of Joel, in the end times, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men see visions, or vice versa, I always forget. And all these things, and there'll be signs in the sun and the moon. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The outpouring of God's Spirit. Friends, we need a fresh outpouring in America. There's been outpourings, and they've come, and God has fulfilled His word. But there need to be more. That needs to happen here. It needs to happen now. And we're all a part of seeing that happen. The biggest things, we just need to hunger and thirst. And you need to hear the rest of the sermon. Because it's so much a part of bringing that revival experience, that outpouring of God's Spirit. I think you'll get what I'm saying in a few minutes. So there's a great falling away, but listen to me. Some people, there's a great falling away. So many people are leaving, and the world's becoming more wicked, and it's getting so dark. And that's all that they see. That's all that they see in the scripture, and they get so negative. I have a Bible study, and I know one guy in that. I used to have a Bible study. I went to Cranberry Community, and one dear fellow, wonderful man, just filled with all kinds of knowledge, but he was one of these guys, it's so dark, and things are getting worse, and I don't see God doing it right. I'd always have to speak to him. No, it also says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I forget whether it's Isaiah 60 or 61, and it talks about both those things happening. At the beginning of one of those chapters, there'd be a great falling away, but there'll also be a great outpouring. He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, and people are going to receive. There's going to be people that don't receive. There's going to be people that are obstinate. There's going to always be people that love the darkness. But when the Spirit is poured out, people will move. When the Spirit is poured out, people are drawn to the reality of who God is and what He can do and how He changes their hearts and their lives. But I got to say this because I needed a little adjustment here this morning because of what's happened the last 2 days that we're going through getting things prepared here. That worship service was beautiful, just filled with the presence of the Lord and sweetened my soul, softened my heart, and, brought the presence of the Lord that I so needed. So many signs. Let me get into the subject that I wanted to get to. And so what is Jesus' exhortation at the end of these things, the fig tree, different things that the destruction of Jerusalem and the coming of the Son of Man, what is His exhortation? When you get close to these times, He said, take heed to yourselves, verse 34, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. There's that whole earth thing again. It will come as a snare, his coming. Now, I believe in a rapture. I believe his coming is two parts. He will come in the clouds, you know, 1 Thessalonians, end of chapter 4. I think it's 17 through 20-something. He will come in the clouds to catch us up. And the word is caught up. And it is, in the Greek, it's kind of, I forget exactly, it's rapturo or something like that. But the word rapture is never used in the scripture, but that caught up. We will be caught up to be together with the Lord. And so shall we ever at the shout of the Lord at the last trump. Or maybe, no, at the trump of God. It's not the last. The last trump is the second coming of the Lord, where he will come at the end of the tribulation. And so at the shout at the trump, we will be caught up to be forever with the Lord. The marriage supper of the Lamb, spoken of in Revelation 21, will happen at that time. And we will be with him, the church of Jesus Christ. Israel will stay, and that's what the tribulation is about. And I can't get into all that now. Chris, don't do that. So that whole thing will happen. But before that, he says, be careful that you're not weighed down, carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day comes on you as a thief unexpectedly. It's going to be a snare upon the whole earth. Then he says this, watch therefore and pray always. If you read the book, the parallel passage, parallel chapter in Mark 3, it doesn't say it quite the same way because Luke is kind of the editor and he's bringing a little different perspective, mostly which is Holy Spirit orientated, prayer orientated, and moving of the Spirit orientated. So he's saying, watch and pray. But when you read that in Mark, three times at the end of the chapter, watch, watch, watch. Watch and pray. Now, he doesn't say that you're counted worthy, but here Luke says that you are counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Now, that's why one of the biggest things and reasons why I believe in the rapture of the church pre-trib. I want to escape it all. Can somebody say amen? I want to escape it all. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to, you know, have all the terrible plagues, the terrible wars, the all the wrath of God. I don't want to be a part of that. And I believe the Lord will deliver his people, the church, from that. Israel will go through it because it'll be all about the land again. Old Testament is about the land. New Testament is about the kingdom. Remember that. Old Testament, say it with me. Old Testament is about the land. New Testament is about the kingdom. They lost the land in the garden. Abraham took them to the land. Moses brought them back to the land. They lost the land and went to Babylon. But they came back through Ezra and Nehemiah. They came back and lived in the land. And then after Jesus passed and AD 70, they lost the, brilliant, the land. But the New Testament is all about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The king came and he brings the kingdom to our hearts, to our lives, to our families. He takes it as far as he can. And when he comes back again at the end of the tribulation and the land is settled, the issue of the land is settled forever. He will be king of the land, and he will be king of the kingdom. Amen. Somebody say amen. So what do we do? What is our role? We want to escape, but we need to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Let's talk about Jesus. Many times in the scripture, and I'm just going to give you two here, we're told to watch and pray. The disciples were told to watch and pray in the garden. Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is. You're getting good. Pray. Then Ephesians 6, the armor of the Lord. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, watching for the Lord to come, watching for the Lord to move, seeking him, seeking his face, watching what he is doing. What does that be? You'll see that over again. Wait, words with that are coupled with words that are coupled with prayer. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Like a maidservant waiting for her lady, waiting on her, helping her dress, helping her with the various items of her day, helping her with the breakfast, serving her. Wait upon the Lord. Watch. Be alert. You can't stay awake every night. How many of you know that? That's not the idea. It's not about sleep or slumber, but it's about alertness, moral alertness, not drunkenness, not the cares of this life, not, and there's the parable of the householder, that begins to beat his servants while he's waiting for his Lord to come. Not being mean-spirited. Wait on the Lord. Watch and pray. Watching. Are you alert? Are you careful about how you're living your life? Oh, it doesn't really matter, I just do what I feel. God is so gracious, and I believe that. If it wasn't for God's grace, I'd be terribly out of luck when it comes to going to heaven. I mean, not just in the past, but my daily life, I'm far from perfect. I need his grace. I make all kinds of mistakes, say things I shouldn't say. Don't I, Judy? I mean, I just need his help all the time. And I, without him, what a mess I would be. What a mess. I lost my patience here in the last couple. Yesterday morning, I won't tell you the whole story. It's too ugly. I lost, computers drive me crazy. I had a computer that had all of my sermons, documents. Silas looked into my computer a few years ago and looked at my documents. I can't believe the documents, all the documents for the church that had built up over the years. I mean, there's hundreds of them. And so we decided this computer's getting old. It had some problems. Let's download it into a Mac. Oh, my goodness. That was horrible. And something happened to it yesterday morning, and actually happened before, that all my documents, I couldn't open them up first, and then finally when I did open them up, they weren't right. I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, nothing was working, I couldn't use my Bible thing together with the documents. hours, 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 hours. My son helped me. He brought deliverance to me by Obadiah because he has a Mac, you know, and oh, just turn your computer off and then turn it back on. Brilliant. I mean, it just, those things. And when we were working, you know, Judy would work through this all with me. But I hate them. I hate those things, those computers. I'm the king of the guy that, I'm the guy that always presses the wrong button. I lost my patience. It was driving me crazy. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Judy. Forgive me, everybody. I need God's mercy. I need God's grace. So, you know I'm real. We need him. And we need his power in our lives. We need his presence in our lives. We need to be alert mentally. And not bogged down with the cares of this life. There's a lot of stuff that the enemy uses to attack us, to draw us away, to get our minds away from God, to get our minds on ourselves. He uses our own flesh to get our minds about everything about us and not about him. And he said, let no one deceive you. You know, false prophets, all those kind of things are big issues. 1 Thessalonians says, love the truth. Get in the Word of God. If you're going to watch, you must get in the Word of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that when there be this great falling away, that they will be deceived because the love of the truth was not in them. Let me tell you something. I know a lot of people that go to church that don't read their Bibles. This is has been my job for years and years, tell you to do two things. Read your Bible and pray. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit, they are life. If the life of God, if you're not receiving that life of God, the bread of life, on a regular basis, then you don't have the love of the truth. Because if you have the love of the truth, you love to sit down with that word. You love to sit down with that word and hear the voice of God speak to you. Sometimes it's a correction, but so many times it's a comfort. It's a strength. It's a life. And you get on your day and you go out and do your things. And somewhere along the line, oh, yeah, I read that in the Word this morning. And the Lord is speaking to me. I'm ready for this. Read your Bible. Be a lover of the truth. That's how you watch. Apply it to your life. Let it change you. Let it speak to you. Let it give you patience. We just read in this chapter, by your patience you keep your soul. How will you discern between Jesus and the false Christ, between the true prophets and the false prophets? Because you know the word, because it's in your heart, because you're a lover of the truth, and because you've read the word, you know what his voice sounds like, and you can discern because he can speak to you. Be a lover of the truth. Watch in the word, watch in expectation for Jesus' soon return. Lift up your heads. When all this stuff is happening, lift them up. Don't put them down and say, oh, it's getting really bad. No, you lift up your heads and you say, he's coming. He's coming. It won't be long now. He's coming. You say, well, I'm about to get married. I'm really looking forward to that. No, listen to me. You'll love it when he comes. I don't know how they'll work all that out, but you'll be happier when he comes. I'm about to have this. There's so many things in this life that are great and wonderful, and family and this event and that event that we look forward to, but nothing is like the coming of the Lord. And to be caught up into his presence, to be caught up with him, where there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look forward to that moment. Watch and pray. Psalms 24, just if you can turn to it, turn to it real quick. Psalms 24 is right after 23. Psalms 24, it's another word about the coming of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. He has founded upon the sea, established it on the water. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul up to an idol or sworn deceitfully, he will receive the blessing of the Lord, righteousness from God, from the God of his salvation. Now listen to this verse. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Selah. Well, you say, this is Jacob. Yeah. But listen to this last part. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be lift up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. It's talking about when the Lord comes to Jerusalem and enters in the eastern gate. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your heads, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is the generation. As the Lord comes, there's a generation that will seek his face. You know that's been happening for the last 50 years. There's been a culmination of more and more people. Back when I first started serving the Lord in the 80s, you hardly ever heard the word intercessor. You started hearing it a lot in the 90s. But man, these days you hear about intercessors and intercession and how to seek the Lord, how to pray. Don't let that word, you know, think, oh, I could never do that. Sounds, yeah, all you have to do is have a heart for the Lord and love to pray. And God calls all of us. You know, some people are gifted with the gift of intercession. Other people, but we all have a role. Some people are gifted with evangelism, but we all have a role. Don't forget you have a role and say, oh, that's not my gift. No. Don't cop out like that. We all have a role, and God will give us opportunities to witness. God will give us opportunities to pray. And listen to me, spend some time with Jesus. There's no better way you can spend some time. Spend some time learning to pray, learning to praise, to come into his presence. The first goal of prayer is his presence. The first goal of it, it's not to get what you want. No, in fact, it's to die to self. It's to open your heart and say, I want your presence, Lord. I want you more than anything else. Everything's going crazy in my life. But Lord, I want you in the midst of it. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. But I want your presence. I want to be with you. And then you come. If you keep on with that, he'll come. You praise him. Learn to praise him. If you haven't learned to pray and praise where you can really spend some time in God's presence, more than, you know, breakfast prayer, lunch prayer, dinner, you know, supper prayer, and go to bed prayer. More than that. Yeah. Some time when you're with the Lord, you read the scriptures, spend a little time in prayer. Spend some time seeking his face. God has a different part for everyone, but find the presence and carry it with you through the day. Carry it with you through the day. It may be on your way to work in the truck. It may be on your way to work in the car. It may be when you first get up, whether you kneel down, you sit in a chair, you read a little bit of the word, and then you give your give some time to the Lord in the chair. It may be in a closet, if you like a closet. That never appealed to me. But learn to pray. Learn to open your heart to God. Learn to praise Him. Learn how precious the presence is. Learn to get there first. And once you get there, then let Him speak to what you know, all the stuff going on. Once you get there. Because, you know, before you get there, it'll be about this problem, that problem, trying to figure it out, and all this stuff going on. No. And you won't hear the voice of God to say, do this, do that. Once you get to the presence and you get to the throne, then He begins to speak to you. Oh, there's an earthquake here. You know all this stuff that is talking about pestilence here and all. That's getting to me. Get in the presence. In the presence, that stuff doesn't matter. In the presence, you're covered. In the presence, you're loved. In the presence, there's sweetness. In the presence, there's His goodness. In the presence, you can hear His voice. And all the other stuff is out there somewhere. And then He speaks to you. Do this, do that. Say this to your son. Say this to your wife. Say this to your daughter. Say this to your friend. Let this happen at work. Forgive this person. Repent. Sometimes you can't hear that word repent until you're in His presence. Do this different. Open up your heart to this. I see it differently. See it like I see it. The presence. Learn to pray. I had some great prayer mentors in my life. One of them was Brother Selleck. I'll tell you stories about it. We went to, when I first started working for him, I was principal of the Christian school. I know time is going. And so we stayed in the same hotel room. And we were building the building that now is at Alpha Assembly of God, and he brought the plans along with him to work on at night. We had to spend most of the day doing training for the Christian school. We did this for 5 days. And he'd pray. He could get down on his bedside and he'd pray. And then he'd open up the plans after about 10 minutes. 10 or 15 minutes, and he'd just look at the plans and thinking, jot a note here, jot a note there. It's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful building. I would be working over at the school. You had the sanctuary here with a little bit of slant, and down at the front would be the stage and the altar in front of it, and on either side, one side was a little room called the prayer room, and the other side was a little room called his office. There was a big wall at the end of the sanctuary and a hallway, and then the entryway where I might go in, and I'd have to go in and see him sometimes, talk to him about something. End of the day, or I open up the door, he'd be clear down at the other end of the building, and I could hear his voice call out to the Lord. He was loud. He was loud. It wasn't like God, wasn't He loud, Scott and Linda? He was just loud, and you'd hear Him cry out. He was all by Himself, thought He was all by Himself, crying out to God. And you know what a favorite Bible verse about prayer was? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. And I learned to lift my voice at times. I don't always lift my voice, but I learned to lift my voice in praise and prayer. To break through some of the stuff going on in me, to break through everything else that's distracting me, to break through. I mean, God hears you whether you say it like this or you shout it like this. He hears you. He hears you. Brother Selleck was smart enough to know that, but he knew in his life he needed to shout sometimes. Another prayer mentor, prayer friend, he was more of a friend than Brother Selleck was a spiritual father. Phil Pellutra was a spiritual brother. Phil challenged me one time for 30 minutes to just kneel and give my heart to the Lord and try to remove every thought in silence in God's presence. Try that sometimes. 3 minutes is a long time like that. And I took that on because Phil had the gift. That's what he needed. Brother Selleck needed something. But listen, both of them are needed in all our lives. Learn to be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. Shout unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. Learn to pray. It makes a powerful difference in your life. Learn to pray. God will use it. God will speak to you. You'll break through things, sometimes with a shout. You'll receive things in your ear, in your heart's ear, as you're silent. Learn to pray. Edith Imhoff. Some of you heard this before. I don't care. Edith Imhoff. She was a missionary in India for 36 years. She ran a Christian bookstore in Clarion. I don't know how many years she did that. And she would pray. Sometimes in prayer meetings she would come, but most often it was in the congregational setting, and Brother Selleck might ask her to pray, or she might stand to pray. And she'd say two words. See, prayer is not just about shouting or saying. Two words. She'd say one word twice. Father, Father. And she could say it. Bill and Betty, remember that? You remember that? And when she said that, the presence of God would come. You knew God was there. Learn to pray. Something powerful, something precious in prayer. Watch and pray. Learn to pray about your own needs. Learn to pray to hear the voice of God to guide you and lead you. Learn to pray about events that are going on to get your heart settled, filled with peace. Filled with peace when a world is becoming darker and darker and trouble is coming upon the face of this earth, where black is white and white is black and love is hate and hate is love. Learn to pray, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because when you watch and you pray, Holy Spirit comes and he fills you, anoints you. He makes places to use you. And then pray that you're counted worthy to escape the things that will come. Because as dark as it is now, it's going to be 100 times darker when the church is raptured, when the Holy Spirit is removed, when Antichrist comes to reign and to rule, when he comes to make himself, when there will be wars like no other wars on the face of the earth. I read an account of the Battle of Waterloo in the book Les Mis, and 60,000 people died in that battle in one day. Bodies were stacked upon each other, and I thought about that account. I thought about the different wars, but in the wars of the day of tribulation will make Waterloo seem like a day at the beach. People's bodies, where one-third of the world will die. Not 1,000, not 1,000,000, one-third of the world. I don't know, is there 8 billion people now? Somewhere around that, one-third of that. So it's going to be in the billions. Learn to pray. Be alert and watch, morally watch. Keep your heart and keep your soul in patience. Pray this prayer. Maranatha, even so, come. Lord Jesus, come. 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 Let's all pray right now. Father, we just come to you. We want you to have your way in these final minutes of this service. Have your way at our hearts. We surrender. I surrender to you, Lord. Don't let anything I say keep somebody from you or keep somebody from moving towards you in these moments. Lord, have your way. Have your way. If you're here today and you never received Christ as your Savior, or you've made that prayer, you've said that prayer, you've been trying to follow the Lord, but you've been away from God. You've been away from God. You want to come back to Him. You know you've made some mistakes, and you know you haven't been serving the Lord. If that's you, I want you just very quickly here in this moment, raise your hand, say, that's me, Pastor Chris. I need to make a change. I need to turn today. I need to raise my hand. I just want you to raise your hand very quickly, and I want to pray for you to receive Christ, to turn back to Christ. If either one of those situations is you, would you raise your hand right now? I want to give my heart to the Lord. Is there anybody? Ten more seconds. Is there anybody? So important, so vital. I have one more thing. Have you been sleeping? You haven't been alert. You haven't thought about the Lord's coming. You'd just rather spend out your days in this world. He's coming, I want to tell you. If you need to watch, there's some things that you've just been dabbling in. You need to watch. Maybe it's prayer. And you just realize, I just need to be with Him more. I need to hear His voice more. I need His presence more. Help me, Lord. Teach me to pray a little bit. And show me how to pray. Show me that I should pray. I want to make it more. If that's you, would you raise your hand today? With every head bowed, every eye closed. Yeah. If that's you, just raise your hand very quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to pray more. I want to know you more, Lord. I want to know you more. Put down that hand. God bless you. Lord, help these dear folk. Help me. I want to pray more, Lord. I want to pray more. I want to hear your voice more. I want to be closer. Give me times. Give me times of waiting upon you. Give me times, oh God, where you speak to my heart and speak to my life, and I know you can guide me through some trouble, some problem, some issue. I want to hear your voice. I want to get beyond all the stuff I'm thinking about. I want to get beyond trying to figure it out myself. And I want to hear your voice. Let's all stand together. Bless these folk that raised their hand today. If you're here today and you just want to spend a little time in God's presence, I invite you, if you would need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for some problem, I'll just wait around here at the front while we sing. And you can find the Lord here at the altar. Good old-fashioned altar call. just come and meet with him. Say, I'm here, Lord. I'm here.